Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked, the foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
The second reading, I don't know about John, 1 John 3, 16 to 24 plus. Personally, I find 17 and 18 the plus verses, but if 24 plus is the one, we'll go for it. From verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. And he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
Thanks, Dave and Gloria. Hi, everyone. My name's Lee. I'm the Youth and Young Adults Minister here at All Saints. It's great to see you all here this morning, especially those of you who are newish or new. It's great to have you along. Keep your Bibles open to 1 John 3. We're going to be looking at that this morning. When I first came to All Saints nearly 13 years ago to work here, I worked with Meryn. We shared a desk. She was the children's minister at the time. So you can imagine how much I heard about compassion. I had no choice. And if I'm honest, fresh out of Bible college, I thought sponsoring children was down on the list of things that Christians and churches should devote their time to. The truth is, Jesus came and died and rose again to offer people forgiveness and eternal relationship with him. Sharing that message is our priority and our main game. And so back then I thought, well, we don't want to be distracted by this. When secular people and organizations can give money to people in need, anyone can write letters to children in poverty. It wasn't until I went to Tanzania in 2017 that God completely changed my perspective. And as I went there, I really wrestled with God's word, because there was still that fresh out of Bible college arrogance in me. I didn't want to be swept up in the hype of going on this trip. So I wrestled with God's word, and through his word and seeing and being on that trip and being part of what God was doing over there, he showed me his heart for them. And he showed me how important it was for us to keep partnering with them. We've heard from Merrin, we've heard some amazing stories about the real impact that compassion has on children, families, churches, and communities in poverty. And as a church, we do this every year. We have Compassion Sunday every year. We keep urging each other to sponsor more children, to give more of our money through compassion. As a church, we want to keep doing trips with compassion, sending people from here to Tanzania and the Philippines. But why is this so important to us? Why compassion? Why do we have an annual Compassion Sunday? Why have we poured so much time and resources into this? Well, I want to show you from God's word that there are three main reasons why it is important. And that is God's love, God's promising, providence, and God's gifting to us. Firstly, God's love. 1 John 3:16, John writes, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us." What a beautiful verse. One that we should never tire of feeling the depth of. The Son of God laying down his life for you and me. If you've never heard that before, that is the best news you can ever hear. That the God who made you and that we have turned our back on laid down his life for you. Love is not us loving God first. It's not Jesus being impressed by how much we go to church, how much money we give away. It's Jesus laying down his life for us. It's the Son of God on a cross taking all of God's rightful anger at my sin and your sin. It's forgiveness that we don't deserve. It's love, it's grace, it's mercy that we will never fully appreciate in this life. Now, I've said this before, I love this verse, but I so desperately wish the second half of it didn't exist. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. This is love. This is part of God's definition of love. God's love doesn't stop with Jesus. It continues in us and through us. God's love is too big. It's too extraordinary to not transform us from the inside out. If Jesus is laying down of his life for us doesn't compel us to lay down our lives for others, then we have to wonder whether it has gripped our hearts at all. At the end of our reading, John writes, "And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's command lives in him and he in them." In other words, our desire to love and the love that we show others is evidence that God lives in us by his Spirit. At youth group last Friday, not the Friday just gone, sorry, the one before, a young guy came up to me, pulled me aside as youth group was ending, and he said, "Lee, how do I know I'm a Christian?" That's a great question. How do we know we're really a Christian? Well, if God dwells in you through his Spirit, you're a Christian. If you've asked him for forgiveness, then you've welcomed him into your heart. But how do we know that God dwells in us? How do we know we have the Spirit if we love one another? If our hearts compel us to lay down our lives for each other. But does this mean it has to be compassion? There's many ways to love one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Does it really have to be compassion? Yes. I know it's a funny answer, but just bear with me. God's providence is the second thing. It's because God has put the needs of those in Tanzania and the Philippines in front of us. And he didn't need to do that. And if he hadn't have done that, then the answer would be no. But the answer is yes, because God has put them in our lives. John says in verse 17, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother and sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" We've seen their needs, whether we like it or not. God has worked through compassion, Marin and many others, to make their needs visible to us. They have turned up at our doors. And when God does that, we can't ignore him. We can't ignore them. God has chosen to provide for them. He is a God who provides. But he's chosen to provide for them through us. It's the same here. Anyone that God brings through our doors and brings into our church family, we have an obligation to love. We've begun a relationship through compassion with churches, children, families, and it's biblical that we keep fostering that relationship, that we keep pushing ourselves to love them, that we keep laying down our lives for their needs. Now, let's be clear, their greatest need is their spiritual need. It's no use if we just make their life a little bit better, but they don't meet Jesus. It's everyone's greatest need, actually. You can have everything you want in this life, but if you don't meet Jesus and accept him, you have nothing. But God didn't just lob his love and forgiveness from heaven, from a distance. He came near. He drew near. He came as a person, Jesus. He comes in our hearts to dwell through the Spirit. And so, yes, we give money that enables them to encounter the message of Jesus. And we share the gospel in our letters. And we know that the compassion program is soaked in the gospel. But as much as possible, we draw near. We draw near through our letters. We share our lives as well as the gospel. And though it is difficult and not for everyone, we draw near by actually visiting them. As a church, we are committed to sending people on compassion trips on behalf of all saints, precisely because it's not just about money, but about people meeting Jesus, encountering the love of Jesus. So if you're interested, we're aiming to do a trip to Tanzania as early as 2027. Nothing is locked in, so there are paper forms that you can fill out at the table over here after the service to express your interest, and there are some other options there that we're going to consider as well. But we're committed to this. We're committed to drawing near to these children and churches and communities. Lastly, God has gifted us. God has gifted and enabled us as all saints as a church to love and provide for their desperate needs. Again, the verse is already up there. Again, in verse 17, if anyone has material possessions. If we didn't have the resources, if we couldn't do this, then we couldn't do it. But as a church, we have the material possessions. We have the resources, but we also have the heart. I've said this from day dot, being here at All Saints. This is a very generous church. We're not a massive church, but we do a lot in our community. For all ages, we put on a lot of things, and it's only because you are very generous with your time and your relationships and your energy. This church is very active. You have generous hearts. And it's not because you're easily swayed, you're just convinced to do anything. It's because God's generosity has gripped your hearts. And we're encouraging each other in that. God has gifted this church with generosity in so many areas. And so, yes, we should keep partnering in a big way with compassion, because that's the heart he's given us, to be faithful. We have so much to offer. Not a lot of churches could do this in this way. Not all of us are able to sponsor a child, as Maren has said. Not all of us are going to be able to budget for a trip. But I want to encourage you, it's always been about what we can do together. Whether it's you are stronger on the financial side, or you have that ability to write more letters. God's love, God's providence, and God gifting us is why we should continue partnering with compassion. To finish, my big worry 13 years ago was that this sort of stuff would distract us from sharing the gospel. It actually was a good thought, because we want people to hear about Jesus more than anything. But the reality and the biblical teaching is that our lives embody the message of Jesus, the gospel. Our love adorns the gospel. It distinguishes us as Jesus' followers. And I'm sure it's not just me, but we've seen how compassion has actually strengthened our witness here in North Epping and around. And so I'm going to pray for us to finish up. Heavenly Father, break our hearts for what breaks yours. We thank you that you are a God who is near, that you've drawn near to us through your Son and through your Spirit. Keep stirring the love that you have for us in us towards others. You are close to the brokenhearted, and we want to be as well. God, we thank you for the ways that we've been able to joyfully partner with compassion in releasing children from poverty in the name of your Son, Jesus. Give us the strength, and may your Spirit keep working in us to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. In your Son's name, amen.